Lord Jesus, I want to pray for us, all of us, that we will have ears that are open. Lord Jesus, may there not be one person in this place who is distracted or feels this is not for me, this is for other sorts of people. Lord Jesus, would you speak to every single one of us this morning? Give us hearts that are open and receptive. And Lord, guard us against every distraction. I pray in your name. Lord, help us to hear you. And I pray for Fraser. Lord Jesus, I thank you that he has walked this word. He's lived this word. He's searched your word. And he has let it go through his whole life, mind, body, and spirit. And I pray now, Lord Jesus, that it will come with your power, that it will be sharp. Lord, I ask that it will be sharper than any double-edged sword. And I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit for Fraser. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Hello. Well, if this is one of your first visits to this church, welcome. It's so lovely to see you here, and we do hope that you will feel very much at home as we worship together and as we look at God's word. And I just want to say thank you to Tristan and Fee and Finley for leading us in that lovely time of worship. Actually, they've already preached my message, so that was the sung version. This is now the spoken version. Okay, it's lovely how our songs, our sung worship, can reflect the truths from God's word. And so you have already been singing the truths from God's word as we've been worshiping the Lord together. Did you know that? One or two knew that. Yes. Okay, there's a few nods and a few smiles, so I think you're with me. So we've entitled this preaching series Adventures in Acts. Now, Acts is a book in the Bible, and we're going to look at our Bibles this morning. So somewhere near you, there will be a Bible. And we're going to open our Bibles this morning. And if you're not sure where this particular book is, look towards the end of your Bible, or look in the index, but look towards the end of your Bible. You've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts follows on straight after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. And it's really the sequel to Luke's Gospel. It's the what happened next. And so over these months, we're reading and preaching our way through the book of Acts, and we see that the story of Jesus doesn't end with his death and resurrection and ascension. Jesus promises his followers that they will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak boldly, to witness confidently to his resurrection, to his rescue plan for humanity, to his life-giving and transforming power in their lives. The book of Acts is not a dull manual of church history. Okay? If you're just reading it as a, well, this is how the early church started, yeah, very interesting, but it has no application to my life here in the 21st century. Forget that. It's an account. It's full of extraordinary accounts of how ordinary men and women became the messengers of salvation, taking the good news of Jesus across the known world. The fact that we have a Christian faith, that Christianity is part of our experience today, is thanks to these very ordinary men and women who were witnesses. You know what a witness is? It's someone who stands up in court and says, yes, I saw, or I heard. I have to give my true account of what happened. So these people were witnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, to the empowering of God's Holy Spirit. Now, last time, Jean preached on the birth of the church, and the way in which these new Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That was what they spent their time doing. And we were challenged as a church to be more devoted to the Lord and to allow the Holy Spirit to blow with his wind and fire in and through our church. That was the challenge that we were presented with last time we looked at the book of Acts. Now today, the section that we were given to read is a sequel to the story in Acts 3 of the healing at the beautiful gate. So I want to just recap what's in chapter 3 so that we don't have to read the whole of chapter 3 and the whole of chapter 4. I'm just going to tell you the story so far. Okay, listen up. You don't have to read this bit. Peter and John are on their way into the temple through one of the gates, the beautiful gate. And there they meet a man who is severely disabled. He can't walk. He has never walked. He's been like that for 40 years. He is sitting there on his pitch, begging the temple goers for money. And Peter's response to his request for a few coins must have been totally unexpected to this guy. Peter says to him, "I haven't got any silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have got. In the name of the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." And an extraordinary miracle of healing takes place. The locals are amazed. They can hardly believe their eyes because this man, who has never been seen standing, let alone walking, is jumping up and down and praising God. And so a large crowd gathers to see what's going on. And Peter seizes the opportunity to speak about Jesus. He's not going to miss an opportunity, okay? So listen up, everyone, he says. We didn't heal him with our power and authority. God has done this. Faith in the powerful name of Jesus has healed this man. And Peter doesn't stop there. He calls on the people to repent and turn back to God. And he preaches forgiveness and new life in Jesus. And some 5,000 people respond. Now, that is an incredible response to that sermon. I'm not anticipating quite the same response this morning, but you never know. Okay, proportionately, it might be the same, but we will see. Okay, so let's read chapter 4, because this is exciting stuff. Chapter 4 of Acts. You'll see what happens next. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them. "By what power or what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and then they conferred together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they've performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the seas and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The Jewish religious leaders are angry. Peter and John are arrested, they're put in prison for the night, and then they're taken the next day before the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court, for interrogation. "By what power or authority have you done this?" they are asked. And Peter replies, "By the power of the name of Jesus. You crucified Jesus Christ, but God raised him from the dead. There is no one else who has the power to save us. Salvation comes only through faith in Jesus." And the religious leaders are astonished at the courage and the confidence of Peter and John. They have to admit that these are just two ordinary men with no training, no scripture training, no formal education. The time they spent with Jesus has had a powerful effect on them. And with this totally healed local character standing in the witness box, like Exhibit A, what can they say? I just have this picture of this formerly disabled man who just can't stand still. He's still jumping up and down. He said, "Come on, look at me. I have been healed." And of course, the religious leaders cannot deny that a complete miracle has happened. All they can think is to give Peter and John an ultimatum. Stop speaking in the name of Jesus or else. This is your final warning. And Peter and John reply, "No, no. We cannot keep quiet about what we have seen and heard." Can you imagine having to appear in court to be cross-examined by some of the greatest theological and legal minds of the time? These authorities who know every intricate detail of the law and of the theology that you hold so dear. And then standing there, you give a clear and a confident and articulate account of your faith in Jesus. This is what happens here as Peter stands before the Sanhedrin. How did Peter, the man who had lied and cursed and denied his master Jesus on the eve of the crucifixion, how did Peter become the confident, straight-speaking, uncompromising man we meet in the book of Acts? What a transformation there is in this man. And I want to answer that question under three headings, words that we sometimes use to describe our spiritual journey, our relationship with Jesus, and our relationship with his church. The three words are belonging, believing, and becoming. So I'm going to take those three headings, we're going to look at Peter's story, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to help us to apply this to our lives. First of all, belonging. There is a moving account in John's Gospel where the resurrected Jesus meets with Peter and they have breakfast together on the beach. Peter, this broken, disillusioned, guilt-ridden man, is forgiven and restored and recommissioned by his master. And Jesus says to him, "Feed my sheep." And Peter says, "Yes." He has this life-transforming meeting with the risen Lord Jesus. Peter is a forgiven man, a healed man. He has a meeting with the risen Christ. And then subsequently, we see him doing what Jesus asks him to do, to wait, to stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And right at the beginning of the book of Acts, you'll see that Peter joins his fellow disciples, many women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they pray, and pray, and pray, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. It's all here in the book of Acts. You can read all about it. And then again, at the end of the chapter that we've just read, we'll see that Peter and John are back with their fellow believers. What are they doing? They are praying. They're not praying for safety. You'd think, well, that's the obvious thing to be praying for. You know, they've just been arrested, put in jail, interrogated by the Sanhedrin. No, they're not praying for safety. They are praying for boldness. We see that Peter is not a lone operator. He is constantly seeking a place of belonging, of relationship with Jesus and with his fellow believers. That's a really important thing to remember. Let's apply that to our lives. The church must be a place of belonging. We've already been reminded of that this morning. The church must be a place of acceptance, a place of friendship, a place of community. We all need to belong. And many people will come to this church, a church like this, because they're wanting to connect with others, to be part of something bigger. And if that's you, then you are so welcome. And as you open yourself to God's love, we pray that you will have a meeting with Jesus. Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me." Here, first of all, is an invitation from Jesus, an invitation to all who long to belong. It's where your faith journey begins. And if you've not yet taken that step of faith, then know that Jesus is standing at the door of your life and waiting for you to invite him in. He will never force open the door. It takes courage, it takes faith to say yes to Jesus. And only you can respond to his voice and welcome him in. And when you do, he promises to share a meal. What does that mean? Well, in the culture in which this was written originally, that was a picture of the most intimate and ongoing relationship of love. He promises, I will come in. I will share, I will come in and eat with you and you with me. Jesus says, I will come in. Take him at his word. If you've yet to open the door of your life to Jesus, then please don't leave church today without talking and praying with me or with a member of our prayer team. That's the invitation of Jesus. But maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, yeah, I'm a Christian already, so I already belong. If you're thinking that, as I often do, you'll see that from the context in Revelation, where this was written, these words were addressed not to an individual, but actually to a church, the Church of Laodicea. And they're actually words of rebuke, spoken in love. This is what Jesus says to the church in Laodicea. You're neither hot nor cold, says Jesus. Because you are lukewarm, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You think, that's not very polite language. It's here in the Bible. It's a shocking indictment. God challenges us to a new, radical, wholehearted faith relationship with Jesus, who invites us to take up our cross daily and follow him. The invitation is to all of us to become a follower of Jesus. He is our Lord and he's our Savior. Belonging. Now, I've talked for long enough, and I can see that one or two people are thinking, how much longer is he going to go on for? So I think we'll have a little pause at this point, okay? End of point one. And I'd like you to talk with someone sitting near you just for a minute or two and respond to this question. What are you longing for? There's an open question for you. Are you longing for something? Okay, it's only a minute, so I'm going to bring us back together again. Do you know, I used to get asked that question by the guy who was pastor of this church many, many years ago. He used to say, Fraser, what are you longing for? And do you know, I used to say, I don't know. Every time he'd ask me a question like that, you know, what's on your heart? What are you really longing for? I don't know. My prayer is that we will all have this longing for relationship with others, relationship with Jesus, belonging. Okay, believing. Point number two. Jesus once challenged his disciples, who do you say I am? And it was Peter who replied, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It was an inspired confession of faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Peter is so impacted by the presence and power of the promised Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that he preaches a gospel of repentance in the name of Jesus. Peter has an unshakable faith in the power of the name of Jesus to heal, to save, and to totally transform lives. And the message which has so affronted the religious leaders here in this story is a resurrection message. Peter believes that Jesus is alive. He says salvation is found in no other name. And Peter was convinced that the resurrection of Jesus is at the heart of our Christian faith. He was later to write this, right at the beginning of his first letter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter believed. And the church, just applying this to our situation, the church must be a place of believing, a place where we begin to know the reality of God's love, where we finally say yes and ask Jesus into our lives, receiving God's forgiveness and putting our trust in Jesus as Saviour and Lord and friend. Some of you will know that we recently started the Alpha course. Some of you are actually doing this course with us at the moment. And I will often introduce Alpha by saying that we are all on a spiritual journey. Some are just beginning to explore the Christian faith, to examine the claims of Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Others are wanting to rediscover faith in Jesus. And yet others are wanting to establish more firm foundations of faith. Wherever you are on that journey, know this. Jesus promises all of us, just as he promised Peter and this motley bunch of apostles, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Now, the Greek word for power, because the New Testament is written in Greek, the Greek word for power is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. Okay? You will receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus is saying, you're not going to do this in your own strength. You've got a supernatural resource. Jesus says that God longs to give the Holy Spirit to us and that all we have to do is ask. Jesus says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And remember this, it's not a one-off filling of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Literally, go on and on and on, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer that we can pray every day. Please fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Belonging, believing, and, well, before we move on to the third point, I just want to pray. I want to pray that we will all be open to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. It's one of the oldest prayers of the Christian faith. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each one of us today, we pray. Open up our hearts to receive the truth of who you are. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher, you're our guide, you're a comforter, you're the one who leads us into all truth. Fill us today, we pray, with your Holy Spirit, as we believe in you, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Belonging, believing, and thirdly, becoming. In Acts, we see Peter becoming a confident, courageous apostle, a man who is sent out to share the good news of salvation. His preaching is totally Jesus-focused. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter, the fisherman, this unschooled ordinary man, as the priests describe him, he becomes one of the principal leaders of the early church. A preacher, a teacher, a prayer, a pastor. He was the first to take the good news to the Gentiles, to the non-Jewish people. He is a transformed man. He's commissioned by Jesus. He's sanctified. He's set apart by the Holy Spirit. He's speaking out fearlessly in the name of Jesus. The good news, he says, is for everyone. Apply this to our lives, and we find that the church is a place of becoming, where we become children of God, where we are adopted into his family, knowing that he lavishes his love on us, where our lives are transformed by the Holy Spirit, so that we become steadily more like Jesus. This is all about becoming the person God created me to be. Just remember that. It's all about becoming the person God created me to be. I try to pray a prayer every day that goes like this. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I will live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day your fruit will ripen in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a great prayer to pray, a prayer that we will be absolutely filled with God's presence, with a sense of following Jesus and transformed by the Holy Spirit. And as our lives are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, let's give glory to God. Let's speak out the name of Jesus. Let's tell people that Jesus loves them. Let's pray for their healing in the name of Jesus. Do you know, people rarely refuse an offer of prayer. Simply say, is it okay if I pray for you? Do you know, sometimes when I'm walking up the street in Totnes, up the high street, I see one or two people from this church, and they're praying with someone on the street. It's not sort of heads bowed, eyes closed, hands together, anything like that. It's just the most natural thing in the world. And those prayers, I believe, are powerful. Become a witness to the amazing grace of Jesus, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Now, at this point, I need to tell you a story. I have not always found it easy to talk about my faith in Jesus. In fact, I used to be the sort of person, instead of being a witness to Jesus, I was quite the reverse. If I sensed that the conversation was sort of going towards talking about Jesus, I was really good at diverting it off onto something else completely, okay? And if it came up, you know, in conversation that I was a Christian, that I was a follower of Jesus, I could sense myself beginning to blush. You know, that sort of, why does this happen? But anyway, that was me. You know, I suddenly got incredibly embarrassed about the fact that I was a follower of Jesus. And one day, I got someone to pray for me. Because, you know, this is crazy. This means so much to me, my faith in Jesus. This is truth. This is reality. But I am totally unable to be a witness, someone who speaks of what they've seen and heard. And I got someone to pray for me and to break that, whatever it was, that was preventing me from speaking out the name of Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. And I believe there are many of us who find actually speaking the name of Jesus is so difficult. It's something that the Holy Spirit has enabled me to do. So I go to get my hair cut on Thursday, which I do quite regularly because it's a good opportunity to talk to my barber about my faith in Jesus. And she loves to hear. And so I tend to go for rather regular haircuts, far more often than I actually need to. But anyway, I'm standing there and the barber's talking to her. And it's very easy to say, I'd like to pray in the name of Jesus for this really difficult situation that she's just told me about. And she says, yeah, I'd love you to do that. And then on yesterday, I'm walking the dog along Long Marsh, and I bump into someone who did the Alpha course last time, and she introduces me to her husband. And I've never met him before, but I happen to remember somewhere at the back of my head that he's been a senior officer, commanding officer in the Royal Navy. And this Holy Spirit suddenly says, and this doesn't always happen to me, I have to say, because I'm not really very listening to what God's saying. But I suddenly think, there's an interesting little link. So I say to him, you'll be really interested in this story. And I said, Aid, who's been the pastor of this church, has just gone into the Royal Navy. And he's gone in as a chaplain in the Royal Navy. And it's this brilliant opportunity to share his faith in Jesus with all these guys that he's holed up with. And they're all wanting to ask for, they're asking for Bibles, and they're saying, come on, will you pray for us? Because we've got this really hard exercise now. Come on, pray for me. And he's praying there in the name of Jesus. So I tell this story as we're walking along Long Marsh with the dogs. And I have to say, the response isn't always, that is amazing. What do I do to be saved? The response, I have to say, was that, it wasn't exactly the most effusive and excited response from this particular person I was talking to about Jesus. But never mind. The Holy Spirit can take those seeds, those words that we speak, and enable God to do his work in our lives, to draw us to a greater faith, a greater love for the God who loves us with an everlasting love and who sent his son, Jesus, so that we can have a relationship with him. Belonging, believing, becoming. It's life transforming. We have a God who changes lives, your life and my life. On Tuesday at Alpha, the question we'll be asking is this: how can I have faith? We'll be thinking about that invitation of Jesus who stands at the door of our lives, knocking, promising that he will come in if we say yes to him. And we will pray a simple prayer marking the start of a brand new relationship with the God who loves us. And I'd like to pray that prayer now. It's a prayer that we often use on the Alpha course. And I think it would be great if we stood up, because it sort of wakes us up a little bit. And it means that if you're able to, enables us to focus on what we are praying and what we are saying. And so here's a prayer, and it's a prayer of invitation, an invitation to Jesus to come into our lives. It's a sorry, thank you, and please prayer, and it's a prayer that I encourage you to echo, to speak out these words literally after me. Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. And you might like to just take a few moments to ask his forgiveness for anything particular that's on your conscience, anything that you know you need forgiveness for. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and new life and the gift of your Holy Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit, to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Jesus, we open the door of our lives to you now. Please come in. Jesus, we reopen the door of our lives to you now, where it's sort of gone, it's been firmly shut. Lord, we reopen the door of our lives to you now. Holy Spirit, please fill us day by day. Father God, help us to live in your presence and please you more and more. May we know more of your Holy Spirit's power and presence. And help each one of us to speak out the name of Jesus, to point people to Jesus, our Saviour, our Healer, our Lord, and our Friend. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So while we're standing, I just want to give you an invitation. We've got a number of people in this church who love to pray with people. If you would like prayer for anything that you have been thinking about this morning, any longing that you have, any desire that you have to know more of the love of Jesus, any particular need that you have, we'd love to offer prayer. I'm going to ask those who are prayers to go and sort of stand over down that end and down this end by the spiral stairs. To be ready to pray with people. And I'd love to encourage you to receive prayer. If you've just prayed that prayer, inviting Jesus into your life, then go and talk to one or two people who are ready to pray with you. And they will just welcome you into the family of God. And please don't leave without taking that opportunity. While we're praying, the bands are just going to lead us instrumentally in some music, a worship song, and then gradually we will together sing out, pray out the words of this song.